The clock. Ginny closed the door behind her, but paused before moving in through her childhood home. She stared at the kitchen and tried to remember the way it had been before. Warm, inviting, always loud and full of energy was the kitchen, even when it was just her and Ron. She didn't know if it was all the Weasley hair glimmering in her memory, but the kitchen always seemed to have an orange glow with everyone bustling about and getting into things. She smiled, and then the kitchen changed into its reality. No one was home. No one was left. The burrow wasn't warm and inviting anymore. It was cold and dark. Ginny was the last bit of the once large and loud red-headed family. The only comfort for parents who'd lost everything. Parents who couldn't even live in their family home because of all the painful memories it held. She let her eyes rest on the family clock, the thing she'd come home to retrieve. It was perched, as it always had been, on the far kitchen wall. It had really been an amazing bit of magic once. It was only 8 years ago when all 9 Weasleys had had a hand on it, and it had pointed to what each of them were up to. Her mum had loved it because she'd been able to keep an eye on all of her children without being too nosy about it. Over time, 3 more names had joined the 9 Weasleys in pointing to mortal peril during the war. Only the magic of the clock knew why, but Ginny had her suspicions. The first was Fleur Delacour. She and Bill had been engaged for over a year, but she hadn't appeared on the clock. The family didn't even know anyone else would ever be added on. It wasn't until that night at the hospital. That horrible night they'd lost Dumbledore and Bill had been disfigured by Fenrir Greyback. That was the night the Weasleys finally accepted that Bill really loved the spoilt Frenchwoman and she loved him back. Then, a small silver hand, emblazoned with Fleur, appeared on the clock. The next hand didn't join until the following Christmas. Maybe it had been because the whole family knew Ron had loved Hermione for years, but a silver Hermione joined the rest while the two of them were away with Harry on the Horcrux hunt. They must have finally confessed to each other what everyone in the family and all of Hogwarts had known already, so the clock didn't hesitate. Hermione was considered family, and no one questioned it. It was as it should be. It took another 2 years before Harry finally joined the family he loved best on their magic clock. The 3 friends had been on the hunt for over a year before Ginny had finished school and joined them. Harry had tried for a year to keep the resolve he had at Dumbledore's funeral. He was strong for a year. Ginny was patient and supportive and really helpful. She knew it was merely a break for them, only temporary. Once the 5th Horcrux was destroyed and all that was left was the snake and Voldemort, Dumbledore's words echoed in Harry's ears. It was Harry's ability to love that made him stronger than Voldemort. Harry realized he'd been wrong to push Ginny away, and he decided he wasn't going to hold her at arm's length anymore. Right then, he grabbed her, embraced her, and started kissing her. While she was surprised, she kissed him back. He told her he loved her, and that he loved her all along, but was being stupid. She'd laughed and cried and said she'd known the whole time, but didn't want to push him at the risk of losing him. It was at that time that the Weasley family clock expressed what Mrs. Weasley had been hoping for since seeing Ron and Harry off at Platform 9 3/4. Harry and Ginny were meant to be together. The silver hand on the clock proved that. Despite the war, they were able to spend several months of blissfully happy days together at the Burrow while waiting for the perfect moment to strike down the Dark Lord. The war was not kind. Every battle leading to the end took someone that they loved. Every few days, the Death Eaters grew bold again. Hands began to vanish from the amazing magical clock. First, they had lost Percy and Charlie. Their names disappeared one day in the middle of lunch. The family found out later that the ministry had sought a diplomatic end to the war, and Charlie had been sent as a bodyguard for the ministry officials, of which Percy was a part. They had all been ambushed and killed. Bill and Fleur had been shot down as they were flying between France and England, carrying important information for the order. While Harry frantically searched for Voldemort's secret location, the twins and their shop were blown to bits. Only four Weasleys and Harry and Hermione were left on the clock the night of the big battle. Harry had taken Ginny aside and tried to prepare her for the possibility that he might not survive. He'd asked her to hide, to keep herself safe, but she argued that he needed her there. She said he was not going to leave her again. She was right next to him as the four of them walked up the stone stairs at Azkaban, leading the first wave of the attack. Ron and Hermione fought bravely, and eventually they sacrificed their lives to protect the only person who could kill Voldemort. The battle didn't stop, despite losing two of its most valiant soldiers, Harry's best friends, but Harry knew he wouldn't make it if he lost another person that he loved. As he and Ginny crept into the inner chamber together, he was relieved to see that Voldemort hadn't been waiting for them. Harry decided in an instant what he had to do. Kissing Ginny and telling her how much he'd always love her, Harry flicked his wand and stupefied her. He pulled her against the far wall and threw his invisibility cloak on her. Ginny frantically tried to move, remembering that Dumbledore had done the same thing to Harry the night of his death. She was left screaming in her head for Harry to let her go so she could help him. Harry's movement back to the center of the room had been just in time. Seconds later, Voldemort strode into the chamber, flanked by Lucius Malfoy and Rodolphus Lestrange. From the far edge of the room, Ginny could see the whole fight, but couldn't help. Full of fear, her thoughts frantically rolled over in her head as she tried to think of anything that would help get her unfrozen. She couldn't reach her wand, and she didn't have any of Harry's talent for wandless magic. She was forced just to watch on until Harry unfroze her, or he died, whichever came first. Harry managed to stun Malfoy and to conveniently place an advanced shield charm reflecting a killing curse aimed at him. Instead, it hit its caster, and Lestrange hit the floor with a thud. Because it was only Lord Voldemort and Harry, they walked towards each other, wands drawn. Ginny couldn't hear what they had said, but the actual duel between them didn't last very long. Harry turned from the charred body of the Dark Lord and walked across the room to where he had left Ginny. He had a tired smile on his face. He looked so free, like a weight had been lifted off him. For an instant, Ginny actually believed that they could have forever to finally make each other happy. With his back now turned, Harry couldn't see the now unstunned Malfoy stand up and point his wand at his back. Ginny saw it, but in her frozen state she couldn't warn Harry. Her eyes widened as Malfoy's cold voice hollered, "Crucio!" Harry fell forward in an agony, just a few steps before Ginny's invisible body. Lucius Malfoy walked towards them. His cruel laughter echoed around the chamber as he continued to torture Harry over and over again. "Well, well, well, Potter. So, you've defeated the Dark Lord. I suppose that was to be expected. Now I can conveniently take his place, and there is no one to stop me." His cold voice pierced into Ginny's heart. "I don't think there's a prophecy about it, anyway." He smiled a wicked smile. "Expelliarmus," said an unexpected voice. Underneath the invisibility cloak, Ginny was shocked to see a second platinum head come through the far door, the door she and Harry had entered through. His wand was raised, but pointed not at them, but at Lucius. "Draco, I underestimated you, son. When you left us, I was sure you'd run and hide. Now you're here. And what are you going to do?" Lucius challenged. "Father, it's over now." Suddenly and silently, Malfoy's wand flew back into his hand. It seemed that he was quite adept at wandless magic, too. He directed a killing curse at his son. Dodging it, Draco shot back with a curse unfamiliar to Ginny. "You can't do a killing curse anymore, Father. There is no way to overcome Nox Avada. Just give up. Let the Aurors take you in." "Ugh!" Lucius screamed as he shot curse after curse at Draco. For the most part, Draco shielded them, but one particularly nasty one shot him far across the room and onto the stone wall. Lucius took the time to focus his attention on Harry. Well, if I can't out and out kill you, I will still enjoy watching you die slowly and painfully. Lucius sneered at Harry and pointed his wand down at him while he coldly whispered, Avada Hemorrhagia. Harry began coughing. Blood began pouring out of his nose and mouth. Avada Kedavra! Shouted Draco. His voice echoed in the empty chamber, and Ginny watched as Lucius fell forward onto Harry as the killing curse hit him in the back. Potter! Draco ran over and pushed his father's body off Harry's smaller frame. Potter, what did he curse you with? Potter! Harry coughed and wiped more blood from his mouth. Hemorrhagia. There's nothing you can do for me now. Ginny. Weasley? What about Ginny Weasley, Potter? Where is she? Even Draco sounded frantic. Stunned. Ginny. He reached his hand in the general direction of her frozen form. Draco quickly cast the counterspell, and Ginny was finally able to move. She ripped off her cloak off the head of her and leaned down over Harry.
Oh, Harry, why did you do that? I could have helped you. I could see Malfoy. Oh, Harry!
She touched his arm as he coughed again. More blood spilled from his mouth.
Malfoy, we've got to do something!
Harry didn't let her finish. He looked at Draco. Keep her. Keep her safe. His breathing was shallow and slowing.
Promise me.
Draco nodded while Ginny looked at them in horror.
Harry? What are you talking about, Harry? Why does Malfoy need to keep me safe? You're going to be fine. Tell him, Draco!
She looked up at the blonde boy with tears in her eyes.
Tell him that he can keep me safe. Tell him!
Potter, don't give up. We'll get you somewhere. Somewhere someone can help you.
He didn't sound too convincing, and Ginny could tell he was only saying these things to appease her.
Too late. You have to take care of her now. Everyone's gone. You have to take care of her for me.
Harry's face was deathly pale. More blood dropped from his nose. He lifted a hand and cupped Ginny's face.
I lost everyone, but I didn't lose you. I didn't lose you, Jen.
His breathing became even more labored.
I want you to be happy, Jen. Promise you'll be happy for me, okay? I promise, Harry. I love you.
She leaned over him and cried on his chest. Harry's eyes closed and his hand grew limp. Ginny began to scream,
Harry! Harry, no!
Hysterical, she turned to Draco.
Malfoy, do something! Harry!
She began to pound on Harry's chest, trying to wake him. Draco grabbed her and pulled her away from Harry's still body. The pounding transferred to his chest.
Draco, why don't you do something? We have to do something!
Her pounding slowed.
I've lost everyone. We have to do something.
She collapsed in fitful tears on Draco's chest. He let her cry for a long time while he patted her back and stroked her hair.
Oh, Ginny, it's okay to cry. You'll be all right, Ginny.
They sat there like that for a long time. Ginny sat crying while Draco Malfoy held her. Eventually, other Order members, the few that were left, found them huddled down on the floor next to Harry's body. Professor McGonagall tried to help Ginny up, but Ginny refused to move and stayed right where she was, between Harry and Draco.
We have to get Harry home. He needs to be buried with our family, with the rest of our family. Have you found Hermione and Ron yet?
Ginny asked without emotion as she finally stood up. Tonks, who had got the entire story of what happened from Draco, nodded and tried to lead Ginny by the arm. Ginny turned around and faced Draco.
You promised him. You're coming with me, right?
Confused gray eyes looked up at her.
You want me to? Why?
You tried to save him. You gave him time to say goodbye, and it was what he wanted. Are you going to do what you said you would?
He didn't say anything. He just took her outstretched hand and apparated them to her parents' house. After that, he checked in with her every few days. At first, he helped her and her parents plan the funerals. Harry was the savior of the wizarding world, and the triple funeral was a massive undertaking. Over the next couple of years, he kept his promise to Harry. Draco made sure she was okay, that she had what she needed, and what she needed most was a friend. Eventually, her parents moved out of the burrow, but Ginny couldn't leave. It was her home. Draco came and visited her every day. He did all the little things with her, like shopping and spring cleaning. He did all the big things with her, like escorting her to the Longbottom Parkinson wedding and opening gifts with her and her parents on Christmas morning over hot chocolate. Without even realizing it or saying anything about it, the three remaining Weasleys began to take it for granted that Draco was just another member of the family. He was always there, silently keeping his promise to Harry, until one evening. It was hot that night. Ginny had suggested that they play chess out on the porch. Chess was almost a nightly ritual with them, and Draco usually won. That night, while waiting for him to make a move, Ginny lazily leaned against his shoulder and asked, "Draco?"
Yeah, Jin. Draco was still focused on the game board.
"Do you get lonely when you go home?"
He turned and looked at her for a long time and then sourly looked back down to the board.
Queen to F7.
While his piece moved, he continued gravely, as if he was trying to be particularly clear in his meaning.
"Well, Jenny, I'm only home for a short while every day. Otherwise, I'm at work or with you. So, no, I don't think lonely is the right word."
Rook to F7, check. "You're right, lonely isn't the right word. When you're not here with me, I miss you. It's like you belong here, and a piece of me is missing when you're gone. A light pink graced her cheeks, but Draco didn't smile. The game forgotten, he lifted himself from the deck chair and paced the porch before she could continue. Finally, he broke the silence.
I just can't do this, Jenny. I won't. It hurts too much."
He turned his back on her and started to go inside, no doubt to grab his cloak and flew home. He only stopped when he felt her touch his arm. "Draco, please don't go."
"I can't stay, Jenny. I've got to go home. I can't do this right now."
"Let this be your home. Stay with me."
She reached up and touched his face. "Stay with me forever."
He shrugged off her hand and muttered as she walked to the door, "I can't, Jenny. I won't be second. If I stay, that's what I'd be."
By the time she followed him in, he was gone without even taking his black cloak with him. It was still hanging on the back of a kitchen chair. Ginny hung the cloak on her arm and was about to flee to Malfoy Manor when a small black velvet box dropped out of the now upside-down pocket and fell to the floor. Ginny picked up the box and was shocked to find a perfect diamond solitaire inside with "I promise forever" engraved inside the band. Ginny sat there on the floor gaping when a soft eruption of green flame shook her out of her trance. Draco calmly walked through the gate, looking at his watch.
"Ginny, I forgot my..."
And then he looked down and saw her and what was in her hand. They stood looking at each other for a long time. Ginny was the first to move. Arm outstretched, handing his cloak to him, she said, "You forgot this." He nodded, but he didn't say anything. "Is this for me?" Silence fell. "Is it?"
"Someday."
"Today," she said firmly.
"I can't."
She walked the rest of the distance between them and put her hand on his face and said, "Draco, it's been 7 years. You are not second."
"I've always been second, Jin."
Shaking her head slowly, but not moving away from him, she said, "Do you remember the last thing Harry said to us?"
"He said... He said it was too late to get help and to watch over you and keep you safe.
He asked you to take care of me once he was gone. The last thing he said to me was how much he wanted me to be happy.
She looked at him straight in his pale gray eyes.
I am happy. I'm happy when I'm with you. I miss you when you're not with me. I go to sleep wishing your arms were around me. I feel a little giddy when you've accidentally touched my hand or patted my back. I love you, Draco Malfoy. I love you for taking care of me when I was all alone. I love you for being my friend. I love you for being you. That's why this ring belongs on my finger today. Not someday, but today it belongs there, Draco.
He didn't have to say anything. He just grabbed her, held her tightly in an embrace, and found her lips with his own, only breaking the kiss once he breathed.
I love you, Jenny. Oh, I love you.
Unbeknownst to the two of them at the time, a little silver Draco joined the three Weasleys on the famous clock that night. It was almost as if the little clock was happy to be put back to good use again. Jenny had been lost in thought for a while, remembering the horrible things that had surrounded the war, remembering the family she'd lost. Familiar cracks, Draco apparating outside, shook her from her reverie. He walked into the kitchen and found Jenny with her back to him. He slid his arms around her and touched her swollen stomach. Did you find everything, love? Jenny smiled and pointed at the clock. She knew it was now time to take that amazing bit of magic to her new home. Her new home she shared with Draco. Their new family would soon emboss itself upon the clock, and Jenny knew this small piece of family history would bring that warm orange glow of love into their home now. Jenny was no longer alone. The end.